You remain standing for the reading of the Word of God. It comes to us this morning from Luke's Gospel, the 19th chapter, beginning with the first verse. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He's gone to be a guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I've defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." It's the word of God for the people of God. Y'all know that saying that says, "I'd like to be a fly on the wall in there." You know, it just means that I'd like to be there to see what happens, but really inconspicuously, just to watch how it all unfolds, because I'm curious. And because of that, hadn't you ever been one of those situations where you were watching somebody, but you didn't want them to know you were watching them, and then they turn around and look right at you, and you're caught. And you try to look away, but it's too late. They know you were looking. If so, you can probably relate to the guy in the gospel story this morning. Zacchaeus is a pretty popular character in the Bible, mainly because of that children's song you heard our children sing this morning. You probably knew it, some of you as children. "Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. Climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see." And then, but the part they really like, you know, kids help me, "Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today." Luke tells us Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector and he was rich. In other words, he's somebody in the small town of Jericho. He has power, wealth. He is not likely the most popular guy in town, but he's well enough known, well enough that it appears that when he wants to find his way through a crowd to have a look at Jesus who's going to pass by, nobody is making any room for Zacchaeus. So you know the story, because he can't get through the crowd and he's short of stature, Luke says. He climbs up a tree, Luke says, to see who Jesus is. Now by now, Jesus has a reputation. This is the man who heals the sick, casts out demons, gives sight to the blind, even raises the dead, they say. But I have the feeling that the part about Jesus' reputation that is particularly interesting to Zacchaeus is that they say he is a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Now, there are not a lot of those folks around in a world of Pharisaical Judaism that is a friend of sinners and tax collectors. Folks just like Zacchaeus. The last 2 weeks, we've been looking at some stories about desperate people. People who sought Jesus out because they had nowhere left to turn. No help anywhere else. And my point was, that's okay. Jesus is okay with that. If it takes a time of desperation and we don't turn to it, until then, he can work with that. You know, he's always waiting and willing and hoping. But unlike other folks that we talked about these last couple of weeks, Zacchaeus, he was not desperate. He doesn't have a daughter who was dying like Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. He doesn't have an incurable disease like those 10 lepers that came to him last week. And did I mention to you that he's rich and powerful? I mean, he's about as self-sufficient as a person could be in that day, for that matter. In our day, what he is just curious. Curious about Jesus, because what kind of religious man is a friend of sinners and tax collectors anyway? I mean, since when did those two things go together? Religious people and sinners, right? Since Jesus, right? Religious people and sinners in need of grace, one and the same since Jesus? That's an epiphany for us. It's an epiphany all of us religious people need. If Zacchaeus needed anything, he might have needed a friend. But not just any friend. After all, rich people have friends, right? You know, we like to drink their wine, ride on their boats, and stay in their beach houses, right? And I imagine that the tax collectors, they had some friends too, but most of them were tax collectors. They stuck together. You might remember when Jesus called Matthew, the tax collector, to be a disciple. That Matthew goes and invites all his tax collector friends to come to his house to meet Jesus. So Zacchaeus had some friends, but not like Jesus. Now, whether he knew it or not, Zacchaeus, he needed a different kind of friend. I think maybe he needed one of those kinds of friends who accepts you for who you are, but when you're around them, they make you want to be better than you are. I've had some friends like that in my past. My life is different because of them. At any rate, Jesus is passing through town, and Zacchaeus is curious, and the crowd is big, so he shimmies up a tree. In Jericho, you know, today in Jericho, there's a Zacchaeus tree, the sycamore tree there. It's certainly not the one that Zacchaeus climbed up, but when you go through there, you can just imagine Jesus coming through Jericho and Zacchaeus up that tree. I think he climbs up there not because he wants to be conspicuous. In that particular crowd, I expect that Zacchaeus wanted to be really inconspicuous. He just wanted to be a fly on the wall, if you would. I mean, have a look at Jesus. Size him up, you might say. When all of a sudden, Jesus has a look at him. And not just looks up at him apparently bewildered, like, what in the heck are you doing in that tree? But he really looks at him, and then he calls him by name. He knows my name? That's an epiphany too. Now, I don't know about y'all, I have a tendency to assume every time Jesus does something surprising that he has these supernatural Jesus powers he's using. Like, he just divinely discerns Zacchaeus' name. It's probably just as likely that Jesus is not particularly a stranger in this little town of Jericho. And Zacchaeus is about as well known as anybody in town. Remember, he's the chief tax collector and wealthy. I always think he might be the Mr. Potter of Bedford Falls, if you remember him. And while all the religious folks were smirking, probably thinking that Jesus the prophet is about to rain down some righteous condemnation on this chief of sinners, bring him down a notch or two? Well, Jesus does call him down, but not in the way that they expected or hoped. He calls him down and he says, I need to stay at your house today. Now think about that. Jesus invites himself to your house. I don't know about you, my mama always told me it was bad manners to invite yourself to somebody's house. Don't do that. But as opposed to being appalled or offended or afraid, Zacchaeus is thrilled. He's honored. He's humbled. Now, I know none of you would think like this. Just me, I'm sure. But I just am thinking, if I'm Zacchaeus, I am really tempted when I come down out of that tree and I'm walking along beside Jesus, all in front of that crowd of my despisers, that look out them and say, ha! Look who's coming to my house. How y'all like me now, huh? But, you know, I know that's just me. But when Jesus says, come down, he does, really. In more ways than one, he comes down. So all that being said, let this be fair warning to you. This is like the product warning on the labels, you know, that we sometimes read and more times don't. If you're curious about Jesus, you know, maybe you're just reading the Bible for the first time because, yeah, I've never read the Bible. Or maybe I'm just slipping into the balcony or the back row, just be a fly on the wall. I'm not picking on the balcony or the back row, you know. It's a There's some real faithful followers of Jesus up there in the balcony in the back row. But speaking personally, there was a time when I stood up there and I did not want Jesus looking at me. In fact, while I don't think he would mind, I didn't ask, so I won't say his name. But there was a man who started visiting Wesley a few years ago, and he started off in the balcony. I remember seeing him. I know most of the faces around here and most of the people around here. So when I see somebody new, I thought, there's somebody, I don't recognize him. He's new. And he sat up there in the balcony for, I don't know, maybe a few months. And then one day, I looked on a Sunday morning, and he was out of the balcony, but he was sitting back here toward the back, kind of come down from the balcony, moved a little bit closer. And then one day, it might have been a few months, I looked up at communion, and there he was at the altar. And he'd never been up there before. And looking back on that, I just was thinking this week about this story that maybe in some subtle way, Jesus invited himself to his house. Because not too long after that, he was back at that altar, and I baptized him, and he's following Jesus. So I'm just saying, if you're just curious about Jesus, just want to be a fly on the wall, be careful. One day he might look you right in the eye and say, I want to come to your house today. And invite himself into your home, into your life, into your marriage, into your heart. And when he does, you too might have an epiphany that changes your life like it changed Zacchaeus. Because that's what happened to Zacchaeus that day. He thought he went there looking for Jesus. He just didn't know Jesus went there looking for him. The way Jesus would describe it to Zacchaeus, what happened to him that day is, the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. Which is really the uniqueness of the whole Christian message, if you think about it. In other religions, people are seeking out God. God is a mystery to be solved, a question to be answered, a treasure maybe to be found. But in Jesus, the gospel says, he is seeking us out. He has come here, not to bring us down, but to lift us up. Not to condemn us, but to redeem us. And so I'm here to tell you, if you leave a crack in the door, he will take advantage of it one day. He told Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house with you today. And see, this wasn't the first time Jesus had done something like this. You might remember the story of Peter and Andrew, the disciples of Jesus. Well, one day, they're at work. Jesus shows up at their work. Remember, he says to them, they're fishermen. I'm getting in your boat with you today. And then there was a story one day about this woman we talked about that was caught in the act of adultery, and Jesus shows up and he says, I'm getting in your crisis with you today. And then there's a story we're going to look at next week about two sisters named Mary and Martha whose brother Lazarus died, and Jesus shows up and says, I'm getting in your grief today. Because, you know, while we all might be wandering around lost, he always knows where we are. At home, at work, in a crisis, in grief. And if we don't watch it, he will stick his nose right in our business sometimes. And the same thing happens to every one of them when he does. They have a life-changing epiphany about him and about themselves. Because I'm telling you, there is something really powerful about being known and cared about and accepted for who you are in all your fallenness that makes you want to be different, better than we are. Jesus comes to Zacchaeus' house and he sits down at his table, and without saying a word, Zacchaeus says, You know, half of my possessions I'm going to give to the poor, and anybody I've cheated, I'm going to pay them back four times over. And he didn't do it that day to gain Jesus' love and acceptance. Apparently, he did it because of Jesus' love and acceptance. You remember that great Jack Nicholson line? I throw it out occasionally, and as good as it gets, when he says, "You make me want to be a better man." That's what happens to people when Jesus comes to their house and their heart. And then the really amazing thing that happens is the effect it has is not just on Zacchaeus, apparently. Apparently it's on his whole family. Jesus says, "Today, salvation has come to this house." Now, it's the same word he uses with the Samaritan leper who we looked at last week that came back and fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you. Salvation has come to you." But he doesn't say to Zacchaeus, "Salvation has come to you today." He said, "Salvation has come to your house." Because in the presence of Jesus, in that home, and the transformation of Zacchaeus' life, apparently, undoubtedly, had some pretty serious effect on the other people that shared Zacchaeus' life. And here's what I think is the rest of the good news of this story. Because Zacchaeus brought Jesus to his house one day, some other day down the road, really it will be at the end of the road, Jesus is going to come back to Zacchaeus again. And the next time, he's not going to invite himself to Zacchaeus' house. He's going to invite Zacchaeus to his house. Remember what he told his disciples? "In my Father's house, there are many rooms. And I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go there and prepare a place for you one day, I'm going to come back and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also there in my Father's house." Now, it might be for someone here today that Jesus is passing by, and he really wants to come to your house so that one day you can go to his. And if that happens to be you this morning, you just wanted to be a fly on the wall today, but you know he's looking at you, then I ask you, you might want to pray this prayer in your heart with me this morning. Let's pray. Jesus, I know where you are. And I know you know where I am, who I am, how I am. Thank you that you love me anyway. Come home with me today. Change my heart. Change my home. Redeem my past. Rewrite my future. Today, I'm preparing a place for you in my home so that you can prepare a place for me in yours. Amen. Amen.